Zachary Falconer-Barfield, I am really, really excited to be interviewing you today. We met briefly at a workshop a few weeks ago, and I was instantly curious about you. I heard that you were the perfect gentleman, and I couldn't help thinking that many women, most women in fact, would want to know everything they possibly could about this almost mythical creature, the perfect gentleman. And what struck me so far in the brief time we've communicated is your extraordinary courtesy. It's not a word I use much these days, because it's not a word that seems particularly relevant to the present world, but your courtesy has already made me start to think a little bit more. And a little research that I've done has shown me you're a serial entrepreneur, you're a lecturer, a mentor, a speaker, a writer, and consultant, and you're passionate about digital entertainment and media, entrepreneurship, and the world of gentlemanly behavior. You're also a speaker and volunteer for the Prince's Trust, and also on the International Advisory Board of Global Angels. And you're currently writing a book, Becoming the Perfect Gentleman, and you're starting to promote your brand, if I may call it that, the Perfect Gentleman in the UK, which you say is a very hard market because men here think they already are a gentleman or they don't need it. And with all of that going on, you still find the time to be courteous. So that makes me think that maybe more time for courtesy in today's world than appearances suggest. And I'm really looking forward to talking with you through the mindset that makes this all possible and learning as much as possible for myself and other women about the perfect gentleman. So welcome.
Thank you very much, Annie. It is a great pleasure. And I'm honored to be speaking to you and being interviewed by you. And it was lovely to meet you a couple of weeks ago at the workshop. It was a good weekend, and certainly I got my fill of it, and it was and highly embarrassed to be singled out as the perfect gentleman from day one. I think that was kind of highly amusing.
Yes, well, you were the only person there who stood out as the perfect gentleman in every way.
Thank you very much indeed.
Yes. So can you tell me a little bit about how you come to step up and take the gauntlet of being the perfect gentleman? Can you tell us a little about your story, please?
Sure, absolutely. Pleasure. It really started about two years ago. I have a very good female friend of mine, she said to me at the time, please would you teach my then boyfriend about to be more like me. And I sort of went, very funny, highly amusing, thank you very much, it's very flattering, but you are joking. She went, no, I'm not. I really would like you to give him some lessons. I thought, okay, and then I laughed it off, but it stuck in the back of my mind. And then I went through a bit of a rough patch and had a divorce and then changed my whole life around. Closed a company and all sorts of things changed, and I also then met my current wife, my soulmate, which is fabulous. Mm-hmm. And over that period of time, I also had a number of other female friends of mine say, would you please show my partner, boyfriend, husband to be more like you? And I kind of thought there was something to it, and I did a little research and ran around and thought that it needs to be done. There isn't anyone doing it. There isn't anyone mm-hmm. out there sort of standing up on the parapet and standing above the parapet and saying it needs to be done. And, I know a few gentlemen. I don't say there's a lot, but I do know a few, and I kind of thought there should be more of us. I'm lucky enough to have been raised by my mum and my grandmother, and who are both very formidable women. They very successful in a period of time when it wasn't known for women to be successful, and they kind of, they were the big influence in my life, and they kind of drummed into me from an early age to be gentlemanly. They drummed into me, how street ladies, how to be present, I would be roundly told off if I misbehaved in any way, shape, or form by them. So they're kind of the dominating influence in my life. So my sort of healthy respect for ladies came from there, and then that kind of worked through. I mean, you know, and I luckily went to a nice school, but I'm, you know, I'm not an upper class boy. I'm a Northwest London boy that kind of think. Mm-hmm. So my thing is about proving that you don't have to be coming from Eton and Harrow to be a gentleman. You don't have to be coming from lots of money to be a gentleman. It's primarily about your attitude and your inherent respect for everything.
Mm-hmm. So am I hearing that your mother and your grandmother took some time to create the kind of man that they wanted to see in the world?
Inadvertently, probably. My grandmother, along with my grandfather, built a property empire. But she was the one who ran the builders and made everything work in the business. And my mother, worked in a very male dominated industry in catering and restaurant management at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that they saw the worst aspects of men and were determined not to let me behave like that. I've never been perfect along the way, but, you know, as I keep saying, it's a journey, not a destination. Strive to be perfect. You don't always achieve it, but at least you keep on the path, keep doing it. But yes, you know, my mom, my grandma was very influential in my life, and still are. Well, my grandmother passed away last year, but she still, to this day, has a big influence in my life.
Mm. Interesting. So, do you have any role models in terms of the perfect gentleman in the media or public life? I struggle to think of any.
We do too, and it's actually very difficult. That are alive, it's very tough. There are a few, and mm-hmm. we trawled to find some. So of the modern, our sort of archetypes are people such as David Niven, Cary Grant, Sir Peter Ustinov, Jimmy Stewart. Mm. These guys who embodied what it was to be a gentleman at the time, you know, very self-effacing, good with what they did, you know, Renaissance men. I mean, one of my personal heroes is Sir Peter Ustinov. A true gent and an amazing man. So historically, there's a lot of gentlemen. In the current age that's still alive, it's a bit tougher. One of our linchpin ones is the actor Will Smith, the actor and musician Will Smith. I think he's mm-hmm. The embodiment of a modern gentleman. He's very self-effacing, he's very humble, you know, he's very successful. But, you know, he still makes time for his family and his relationship, and, you know, he's very good with that. We also Hugh Jackman is one of our role models. I mean, not only is he a gentleman in movies, he's also generally a gentleman in real life. He's been with his wife since the beginning. I know lots of people in the film and TV industry, and I have never heard a bad word about him. And that's very hard to say in the film and TV industry. I've heard stories of him buying lottery tickets for the whole crew every week. And, you know, so very good acts. There's the royals, which you kind of assume would be gentlemen. So, you know, and certain of them are, and certain of them aren't. But Prince William's one of ours. I think he's a gentleman. And then it's kind of interesting. Then we come to interesting ones. I mean, there's, I think, Bill Turnbull, the BBC News presenter, is a true gentleman. He's very gracious and very humble and also, you know, very good at what he does. And I think that kind of shows through. There's a few sporting gentlemen. Roger Federer's one, Johnny Wilkinson, probably David Beckham, though I have a personal issue with the amount of tattoos that he has, but that's just my personal opinion. But, you know, he's always very gracious and a humble chap, and works very hard for his sport, and works very hard to be an ambassador for his sport. You know, we've probably got a list of about 20, 25 that we kind of refer to. We can list others. I mean, the ladies out there will always like one of our gentlemen, Michael Bublé, who we believe is quite a gentleman. There's a few. But there's not as many as we wish. And certainly very, very few in business. Business and politics is an area where we struggle to find any.
Yes, and I take it that that's fairly international.
It is fairly international. I mean, there's a few. I mean, we find that to be funny. Ronald Reagan, I would consider to be a gentleman. And, but they're all of a certain age. When you get into the politics and business area, they're all a lot older. I mean, you know, Warren Buffett, we think, is a gentleman. Lakshmi Mittal is a gentleman. But, you know, they're of a certain age. We struggle to find anyone, you know, sub 45 that is a gentleman in business or politics.
So, what makes the perfect gentleman? This is something I'm really puzzling about.
After much deliberation, the fundamental thing that makes a perfect gentleman, or it makes a gentleman, is respect. So, that's the fundamental value. Respect for yourself. Respect for others and respect for the world in general. That's kind of, for me, that's the fundamental basis value. I mean, you know, if you have respect for yourself, then you'll, you know, eat right, you'll go to the gym or whatever, you know, you'll keep fit, you'll make yourself look and feel the best that you can. If you respect others, then, you know, you have the ability to engage with people correctly, have the certain level of humility and honesty and manners that makes the world tick properly. And if you have respect for the world, then, you know, you'll try and do your best to live within the means that that you have and the world that it exists and try to make it a better place. Mm-hmm. That's my fundamental value. I think then it's kindness and thoughtfulness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's thinking about others all the time. I mean, there's surface level stuff that makes a gentleman, but those are the values.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm just wondering how you differentiate between, I mean, for women, say, they meet someone, and women do meet someone, not infrequently, who comes across as what they perceive to be the perfect gentleman on day one. He opens the doors, he makes the right noises. 6 weeks or 6 months down the line, they open their own doors, and he's not the same. And I'm wondering whether they're are things that you know, whether there are things that you can pick up really from the start that differentiate the perfect gentleman, who is the Holy Grail, from everybody else, from the others, that is.
I think I've thought long and hard about this, and it's an interesting thing. I think there's a few tips. I think number one is how he treats other people. So in the sense of if you're out at dinner or you're out at drinks, how does he treat the waiter? How does he treat the maitre d'? How does he treat the coffee maker? You know, does he engage with them with the same level of respect that he engages with you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very key trick. Because if he does this, he's doing it naturally. There's certain things that you do unconsciously, and we all have off days, and some days it's not as good, but if it's ingrained in you unconsciously, then you'll behave in the same way to everyone. You won't change your behavior. It's much harder to do. I also think that, I know it's probably a quick speedy into it, but generally the summation of, you know, it's been said you're the summation of the five people you hang around with the most. So, you know, I would ask a gentleman about their friends and who they hang out with and what they do. I mean, you know, one of the things I personally been commented on by my wife when we first got together, she always said, you know, you hang around with a lot of nice people. And I sort of went, why? I didn't really notice. And she said, you know, they're just my friends. And she said, no, they're good people. They're nice people. And because she's completely out of my circle of friends, she didn't know anyone that I knew. So I found that kind of interesting. So I think that's a very key indicator to you know, whether they're true gentlemen. And also I think it's an interest in themselves and but predominantly the person they're engaging with. So if you're out on a date, you know, are they genuinely interested in you? Mm. Are they genuinely interested in your behavior? You know, over the course of time, things do slip. You know, I always open the door, but, you know, sometimes you forget to open the car door, or, you know, sometimes these things slip. But it's consistency. It's the basic line is consistency. Then it doesn't change. And I think those are kind of the things I would say are the quickest things to gather, if you know, on a first or second or third date. You know. I have a great story of a friend of mine. She went out on a couple of dates with. I was her sort of dating guru. She kind of kept coming back to me with the guys that she was dating, and she had these dates with this gentleman, and he was consistently late. He was very late. Half an hour the first time, and an hour the second time. She said to me, oh, should I go on a third date? And I said, well, okay, how was he? And she said, oh, he was lovely, he was charming, he apologized, he sent me flowers the next day, blah, blah, blah. You know, he was a lawyer and he got caught up. And I said, well, you know, I would give him the benefit of the doubt. And if he's late on the third date, then I would say that's the problem. But he wasn't late on the third date, and they ended up getting married. So, you know, it's you can have problems that cause difficulty, but it's how you deal with them.
Yeah.
And how you engage with the person.
And it does sound like he was giving very clear messages that he did not want to upset her feelings.
No, exactly.
Despite being late.
Yeah, he was genuinely contrite.
Yes.
Which most people can tell when you're genuinely contrite as opposed to faking it.
Yes. So you had a hand in that marriage.
I had a small hand in that marriage. Very small.
Yes. One of the things I have to ask you, because I think it's a very interesting area, is how do you spot the pickup artists? Are there any quick ways, you know, these dreadful people who are quite primed in how to get a woman's attention and come across as very attractive and so on?
Yes and no is the answer to that question, because, I mean, some of the elements that I would say we would, you know, when we talk about wooing, some of the elements of wooing, you know, picked up artists have manipulated to a negative effect. So certain things are self-evident, but I would suffice to say that, a gentleman would be genuinely interested in you and your friends and what you're about, and wouldn't care if you weren't interested in him. You know, it's interesting. I have a lot of female friends, and one of the reasons I have a lot of female friends is I'm genuinely interested in them. You know, and I haven't had any desire, nor do I have any other desire over, you know, when I was single or not single, to be engaged with them in any other way but friendship. I'm just genuinely interested in them as people. And, and I think that a gentleman has that genuine level of interest. You know, he wants to know about you on a deeper level than, you know, that sort of that sort of flippant stuff that a pickup artist will pick up on. I think also a gentleman is, you know, he would generally be humble. I mean, a pickup artist generally are about manipulating the situation. I mean, I having done my NLP, I kind of know how they operate. So you and read a few things about them. So you kind of, I read most of the books, so I could have an idea about what not to do with what we're doing. I think it's a combination of genuine interest. It's a combination of respect for you and your friends, and also not encroaching on other people's territory. I tell stories because it's easier. There's a good way to illustrate it. I have a very good friend of mine. He is probably the archetypal Victorian gentleman. He should have been born 100 plus years ago. He's a lovely gentleman. He's a very good guy. But his behavior sometimes can be taken out of context, but he does it with a genuine heart. When you see him do stuff, you know it's from the heart. For example, we were at a bar in Soho, and this couple came in, and we ended up talking with them, and the girl was wearing... They were going out for dinner, an anniversary, and the girl was wearing UGG boots. And my friend said, "You can't go out to dinner with that. Come on, let me buy you a pair of shoes." And it wasn't done in a I want to pick you up kind of way. It was just done in a, "My God, you can't go out to dinner for your wedding anniversary with a pair of UGG boots." You know? and he literally went out and bought her a pair of shoes, which is a classic. And interesting, you've got the guy who was with her could tell that he wasn't doing it in a, you know, a suggestive or negative way. He was just doing it as an act of kindness. And I think that, you know, it's all about intuition. I mean, a lot of what we know when someone's playing us a little bit. And if our intuition says, "Hang on a second, he's playing me," then back away. And if he doesn't, you know, if he keeps on coming and using subterfuge and tricks and so on and so forth, you know, then don't do it. If a true gentleman wouldn't do that, he wouldn't use subterfuge to get there. He might make a few mistakes along the way, but because guys are wont to do that, but because they don't generally understand women. But you know, you can generally tell. But I think it's kind of level. It's two things. It's genuine interest in yourself and respect is kind of how it is.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I have to say that when I met my lovely, lovely partner, I didn't really get him some of the time because I was so used to people being devious that I didn't realize that he was just straight, open, and honest all the time. I had to pinch myself a bit.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I think a lot of my female friends who have successful relationships do, you know, have to worry because, you know, the genuine guys are straight, open, and honest.
Yes, which is surprising sometimes in today's world.
Very surprising.
Yeah. So, Zach, I'm really interested to hear about wooing. First of all, it's a word that I haven't heard in a while, and it's enchanting. And second, I'm really interested in your take on that. So do tell us about a true gentleman, a perfect gentleman, and wooing. What is wooing?
Wooing for us is the art of romance. So it's not just about... it's not just about... you know, engaging in an initial relationship or finding the initial partner. It's about a consistent, it's the constant re-engaging with your relationship. You know, and pulling out all the stops, really. I mean, you know, wooing starts from the little things. So from the opening the doors, making sure that you're on, you know, on time, unlike my friend, making sure that you, you know, you've engaged in you know, a way with the lady that you know is right and proper and not engaging them in a bad way. You know, it, basically from us, is wooing is about finding out what makes your partner or prospective partner tick, and what they like, what they dislike, and engaging with them in a correct way. I mean, you know, I can give you an example from my own relationship. My wife and I got together about 2 years ago, and it was her first birthday with me, and about 6 months into our relationship, and I'd listened, less than 2 months, about 4 months into our relationship, I'd listened all the way through about what she liked, what she wanted, what she needed, and I planned the day around those things for her birthday. And, you know, and wooing is about listening to your, you know, your relationship and what you want. It's engaging with them honestly and openly. It's about you know, having a heart-to-heart communication. It's about honest communication. It's about doing things that you both enjoy. And, you know, because my enjoyment with my wife's things are different than other people's. But also, you know, accepting that they want to do stuff that might be different than you, and you have to go along with that. You know, if you know, your wife loves opera and you don't, you go to the opera and you sit through it and you enjoy it because you enjoy it because she's enjoying it. You know, and I think that's kind of, you've got to take enjoyment from your partner's enjoyment. I mean, there's loads of, I can go into loads of little things, how wooing works in the sense of, you know, the right flowers to give, you know, the right way to act at dinner, what you shouldn't do at dinner, what you should do at dinner. Down, you know, my favorite is, you know, don't go to a spaghetti house on the first date. Or go to any restaurant where you have to use your hands. None of these things are particularly good on a first date. you know, no. Things like that. You know, it's that kind of stuff. It's kind of out of fashion in the sense of A, knowing all those things that you need to know, and B, you know, engaging with ladies in an open and honest way. I mean, we're not talking, you know, Victorian era of being very formally introduced and you have to sit down with Aunt Agatha sitting in the corner watching over you like a hawk. But we, you know, there is a certain level of you should act appropriately at all times, and maybe you should act like Aunt Agatha is sitting in the corner watching over you in your first couple of dates to make sure that you're not doing anything inappropriate, and it's a good shoulder tip to have. I had a, when I was a younger man, I went out on a series of dates with a young lady, and before we could go out to dinner or whatever we were doing, we had to go and sit and have tea with her mum. We couldn't go out before we'd had tea with her mum. So that was kind of a very surreal experience for a young man. But actually, I think a good one. You know, you had to behave yourself right from the start, and you engaged in a way that was very different right from the start. You knew where the boundaries were.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. It put the whole dating thing into a kind of context. This wasn't just some person. This was a person, the girl, lady, whatever you call her, had a whole background. And it kind of, puts a framework around the whole thing.
We talk a lot about chivalry, and that's kind of our thing. You were saying, Annie, I apologize.
Sorry, no, Zach. I wanted to bring up the topic I don't normally like to talk about, but I think is unfortunately relevant here, which is sex. You know, there's been a phrase a couple of years back, get your coat on, you've pulled, which kind of says quite a lot. And I've recently had a sort of an exchange on my blog with a woman who says, well, you know, why can't we just roll into bed with blokes if we want to, just like they do? What's wrong with that? And my feeling is that it's not a brilliant idea at the start of a relationship. That my feeling is that sex should occur in some kind of is best in some kind of constructive context if you want to have a relationship. And I'm really interested in what you have to say about that.
The dangerous subject. I'm generally told to still stay well clear of this subject.
Okay.
We generally at the Perfect Gentleman say we don't tell you what to do beyond the bedroom door, because that's kind of where two people should, you know. I don't need tips or anything like that. But prior to that, and what you're talking about, I have a personal philosophy, I say, you know, we're in a very sexualized society, and I think that's bad. So, we are overly sexualized in the sense of, you know, things are projected to us in a very sexual way. I mean, one of the reasons we launched this is the fact that, you know, the gentlemen's magazines mostly are women on the cover with bikinis. And, you know, though that can be aesthetically appealing, it's not particularly what I want to pick up a gentleman's magazine for. I don't really want to look at girls in bikinis and read about them. I'd actually really want to know about, you know, how do I tie my tie and where's the best pair of shoes to buy at the moment, or, you know, what's a nice place to go on holiday, or how do I treat my lady better, but not, you know, the latest lead star of Howie or whatever the reality show is called. So I think that's problem number one is that we're over a sexualized society. Number two is I think that I agree with you. I think that sex should take place inside some kind of relationship. But I've always had a saying that sex without love or some kind of intimacy is kind of like dry toast. It fills the hunger hole, but is never as good as a Michelin star meal. And I think that's kind of what it is. I mean, I would never say to anyone, don't go off and you know, enjoy yourself. But I would say, think about it this way. You know, it is unsatisfying. And if all you ever eat is dry toast, then you're never really. You're not respecting yourself. We come back to the respect point. You're not respecting yourself because you're not putting the best thing in, you know, into your life, you know, and a healthy relationship, you know, with fantastic sex makes you a much better person. You know, I've not been a saint in my life by any stretch of the imagination. That is my one fundamental conclusion, is that, you know, sex without intimacy and love is at the end of the day, pretty soul-destroying.
That's my kind of view, too. So the kind of thing that women often feel and think, well, I've had four dates, so I better get on and do the sex part because it's part of the contract, should not be part of a gentleman's calculation.
Oh, no. Not at all. I mean, I was just trying to think. Until that moment is right, and in some cases, you know, I've waited 3-6 months, so you know, before we had any kind of intimate relations. So I think that the sort of third/fourth date rule is almost put there just to get it over with, I think, almost in some ways. And I think that's wrong. I mean, if you have an amazing connection and you end up sleeping together on the first night because it's fantastic, and you're head over heels in love, fabulous. If it takes 6 months to get to that point, then let it take 6 months to get to that point.
Yes.
I shouldn't think it'd be a contrivance.
Yes. Interesting. That sounds pretty much like the kind of message I go for. So, tell me, what is a gentleman looking for in a lady or a woman? Women need to know this.
Individual choice, and whether you're how you look is kind of a subjective thing. Everyone has their own desire criteria. But on the fundamental level, interestingly enough, most men, and I'm a slight differential to this. As my wife refers to me as I'm part girl, in the sense of I understand, and because I was raised by my mom and my grandmother, I understand women, and I engage with them on a level that I tend to understand them a lot better and a lot quicker than most men because I understand the way that the perspective operates. So I'm slightly different to most men, but as far as gentlemen is concerned, I think that because most men are relatively simple creatures in the sense of that, it's really simple in the sense that most men like intelligence. They like someone who is self-confident, but does require require some kind of male influence. I think one of the things that the yin yang balance of male female has shifted, and I think on both sides of the coin there is a big imbalance of I don't know what role I should play now. And successful women, a very good friend of mine is a very successful woman, and she struggles to find men because they either assume that she's going to, excuse the language, be a ball breaker, or they assume that they get totally scared by her intelligence and her wit and she finds it very difficult and they run away. And what they, most of those men don't realize, A, because they're not gentlemen, and B, because they don't understand her role, is that she does want a man in the sense of she wants someone to respect and understand her, but she wants someone to be male around her in the sense of having some strength, some determination, some place to lean upon, a relationship where the guy is continually boosting the self-confidence of his wife, and he gets, he enjoys that. He wants her to succeed. He pushes her, and he gives her the support structure to do that. Guys like to be able to give the support structure, and I think ladies need to be able to let guys give them support structure. They've kind of stopped letting that happen. And I'm not saying it has to be, I've got to be the breadwinner, but it's more about, I will support you, whether that's emotionally or financially or a combination of that, or, spiritually, I will support you, and that's my maleness. I'm giving you, the gentleman gives you his male strength, if you like, to do what you can do and be you. And whether that's simple things like taking care of the kids, or taking you out to dinner and making you dress up, or supporting your fledgling career, or that's kind of one thing. I think ladies need to know that guys are not. It's not. There are certain men who are always after the attractive lady. The very good looking ones. They're after a certain level of attractiveness. But I would say the majority of men are after people that they like. They can get on with. That are intelligent, they can hold a conversation with, they can engage with, and they can support. And I think from a lady's point of view, you have to understand that most men are relatively simple in the sense of generally they say what they mean, if they say anything at all, and not grunt.
Yeah.
And if you can engage with them in conversation, you just have to engage with them consistently, and let the men support them in some way, say, shape or form.
It's interesting you say men are relatively simple and straightforward. I think that is actually true of, I mean, you know men better than I do, but I certainly know that the client group that I work with have unfortunately come across the men who are not at all straightforward and speak in code. So actually getting this idea that men are straightforward, the good ones, can take a little bit of internalizing.
Yes, I think so. I think what's happened with men generally is that I have family members that I find highly amusing because they're very male, they don't really engage. They love ladies, and don't get me wrong, they love being around women. But they don't quite get them. One of my favourite quotes recently was, why do women have to be so emotional? I'm quite going, why do you have to be so unemotional? The flip side is there. I think there's a lot of disingenuity. There's a lot of misunderstanding, and I think there's a lot of I think problems in the sense of the, as I said, the yin yang balance has shifted, and I think that there are a lot of people, there are a lot of men out there who think it's their duty to be cavemen or dominant or the alpha male or aggressive and the greatest strength you can have is to show kindness, gentleness, and humility. And softness, and that kind of stuff, and some of the most gentle men I've ever met, and I'd use gentle as the adjective, are people who are incredibly capable and incredibly aggressive, and top sportsmen, and very focused and determined individuals who are soldiers, And yet, the gentleman I was talking about who bought the shoes, he's a decorated and wounded soldier. He's exceptionally capable. He shoots, he hunts, shoots, and fishes. He's a very male, but, complete gentle man. He would never do anything offensive or I think in breeding that level of gentleness on top of, you've got to have the male strength, but that gentleness on top of it and understanding that not everyone's the same.
Yeah, so you can be strong and gentle, and the two do not have to be mutually exclusive.
No, absolutely not. I mean, the history, if we may digress slightly, the history of the gentle man comes from back in medieval times. And basically, soldiers, knights, warriors, then they had to engage in. Then they had to sit down peaceably and chat. And so, these are very rough, aggressive. They're bred to fight. Suddenly, having to be diplomats. And so, a rules came about to enforce the gentilis, the gentle man. To get behavior in courtly and situations, diplomatic situations, to force the gentle behavior. And then it became, actually, you needed to be able to be two men. You needed to be able to be the warrior on the field and the knight, the prince charming in the courtroom. You need to be able, most knights of that period, and Japan is no exception, they had a very strong similar to the samurai. They had to be able to paint, write poetry, recite lines, be artistic, woo, and then the next day they might be out trying to kill each other on the jousting field. So they had to be able to have that duality, and I think that's kind of lost it's now kind of like you're either one or the other. You're either a softie or an alpha male. And actually, the whole point about being a man is you've got to combine both.
Wow, that is absolutely mind-blowing. Yeah, and, there's been all this stuff about men can't possibly multitask, and therefore, a man can't even answer a question when he's parking the car, allegedly. So, which may or may not be true, but the conclusion is therefore that he can't possibly be one person in one, behave in one way in one situation and differently in another.
Yeah, I think that's wrong.
Yes, thank you. I love it. One more question I have to ask you.
We've
just got a little time more, and so I had two actually questions. First thing is, what really will make a gentleman go, oh my goodness, this is not a good idea, and run for the hills when he's wooing a lady?
Again, we come back to this. There's a certain level of subjectiveness. But what I would say overall, a general thing, I think two things. One is an indication that they aren't needed.
Mm.
So I think that there's a lot of female press and female attitude that I don't need a man. If I don't need someone in my life. I don't need a partner. I don't need, sorry, I use a man generically, but a partner of some sort. I don't need a partner. I could do everything on my own. A gentleman and myself included would kind of go, well, hang on a second. Well, if you don't need me, what's my role in our relationship?
Mm.
So, would I just therefore be an add-on, a sex partner, What would, the whole point about a partnership is a conjoining of people.
Mm.
But I think that's overly aggressively strong domineering women can come across as, I don't need you. I think it's untrue, but they can come across as, I don't need you. I'm strong enough. And that generally would get a gentleman to the hills. Sorry, you were saying
what
that.
About needy women? I find the whole issue of need a difficult one because what about needy women?
Depends on your definition of needy. I mean,
can't man without the bloke.
That's probably that will probably scare a lot of men off. It depends on the level of neediness. It really does. I mean, I've got friends who have needier ladies. Needier ladies and needier partners than others. I think someone who cannot can't do without them, that wants to know where they are all the time, wants to know what's going on. There's no level of respect or trust or requirement to be individuals. So the antithesis of what the first one was is I'm a complete individual. The other one is I'm not an individual. I need someone to make me whole.
Yeah.
And both of those, the polar opposites, if you like, they're the problem. And I think guys find that very difficult. Gentlemen find that very a certain level of need is good. Overly needy is kind of a little scary.
Yeah, I'm still struggling with this concept of need. I mean, one of the things that worked for me, and I teach the women that I work with, is they don't actually, to be in a place where they don't need a man in their life, they want a man and they would welcome a man as an equal partner.
Yeah.
But they don't need a man like a cripple needs a crutch, basically.
I think that's very true of everyone. I mean, I've done a lot of personal development in my life, and I think it's self-confidence is the sexiest thing. If you are self-confident and you are capable of being yourself at all times, And, you know, I'm very lucky. I have a lovely partner, and we're as mad as each other, which is great. But when I was leaving my ex-wife, I got to a point where I don't need to be in a relationship. And if I don't find anyone ever again, so be it. You know, that was kind of my attitude. Is I didn't need to be in a relationship to be me. I just, you know, I luckily found someone who would be alongside me for the rest of the journey. So I think you're right. I totally agree with you. I think that's very true.
Yes. Well, thank you. It's just for women who have been very, very needy. It's somehow, as you say, they've got to find the confidence, the resources in themselves to take themselves forward rather than dive for the first man who comes along who they think will pay the bills and carry them emotionally and so on.
I mean, I know a number of female friends of mine who fall into that category, how you deal with them is slightly different, but because everyone needs to be dealt with slightly differently. But my thing is always about building their own self confidence to a point absolutely. where they don't require, you know, someone whether it's male or female is irrelevant, to be their crutch. You know, they can stand on their own two feet.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. So, Zach, please can you tell us where we can get more of you? Because I'm sure there will be a lot of people who will want more. I'm sure there will be a campaign afoot at some point to have you cloned. That's probably not a possibility at the moment. So, can you tell us, please, about your website, your book, and your forthcoming courses, because they sound really exciting.
Certainly, my great pleasure. So we launch in September. The website is called theperfectgentleman.tv, and that will be an online magazine.
Can you just say that again, please? Because it's amazing how people don't quite catch things the first time.
That's fine. Theperfectgentleman.tv.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an online magazine. So on that, we will be doing articles about etiquette, manners, commentary about various different things. So, I mean, you know, if it was today, we'd be writing an article about, you know, the badminton players and their unsportsmanlike conduct and, you know, that sort of stuff. We're going to do guides. So, you know, gentleman's guide to where to go, top 10 places to get a martini, top 10 places for a first date, where you should go for this, so the magazine will be a constantly evolving piece. We have a number of fabulous contributors. We have a chap who's a member of the Worshipful Company of Innholders, who's an expert in table etiquette and manners and that sort of stuff. We have a Michelin star chef. They'll talk about food and wine. We have a top wine consultant. We have a top food blogger. We have a two tailors. We have a number of experts in sort of manners and etiquette and so on and so forth. We have a fitness guru. We have a couple of ladies. Ladies who are part of our commentary team, so they get a lady's perspective about gentlemen behaviour and what their engagement with the gentlemen out there. I think we're trying to get someone to go out on a dating spree to find a gentleman that hasn't been to one of our courses yet. We're doing that kind of thing. So that's the website, and then. Currently, I'm finishing writing the first book, which is Becoming the Perfect Gentleman, which is basically a sort of brief overview about what we talked about today, and some more details about things like, you know, style, dress, grooming, etiquette, manners, wooing and relationships. So a bit more of the how-tos, as well as the sort of ethos, because we, you know, we certainly believe in the gentleman inside as well as out. So, you know, a savage rose tea does not make a gentleman. So, you know, you have to have the gentleman ethos as well. So it's a lot about that. And that should be out in September as well on the ebook format. And then we'll do a print run towards the end of September. And then we'll look to do a proper publishing deal around Christmas time.
And brilliant.
And then the main thing that we're doing is courses. So we're running a two-day weekend called Naturally Becoming the Perfect Gentleman, which is sort of our introductory weekend to give you the basics. So we're going to do on that is we'll have some, you know, the inside-out stuff, some style, dress, and grooming. We've got a tailor and a stylist to come in and tell you how to wear your clothing better. We'll do some wooing and relationship stuff. We'll do some etiquette and manners stuff. And we'll also, for the ladies, we will certainly, one of the things, the fun things we're going to do is give them a couple of hours of dancing lessons so they can actually whisk you around the floor or the kitchen or wherever else. We'll have some practical experience when they come out of it. And then we're doing what we call the Master of the Gentlemanly Arts, which will be four 1-week long courses. So, and each course will have a very focused area. So, we're sort of doing 1 week will be in a sort of an advanced gentleman stuff. So, from following on from the first 2-day course, we're going to do a wooing and relationship week, where we'll have a, you know, Michelin star chef teach the guys how to cook a meal. We'll have more dancing lessons. We'll have all sorts of other fun things. We'll have a lady teaching you how to engage. We'll have flower arranging, poetry, that sort of stuff during that week.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the last weeks is business and travel and formal stuff. So how to engage in the business world and become a gentleman in business. That's kind of what
wonderful. Yes, it sounds ideal, you know. The thinking woman's Christmas present to herself sends her partner on all of these courses. It's for you, really, darling.
Yes, you'll love it. Yeah. that's one of our plans.
Yes. It's kind of like the man who buys his wife a vacuum cleaner for Christmas, but rather better.
Exactly.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful.
Thanks, that's brilliant.
It's been an absolute delight to talk to you. Your website, again, is theperfectgentleman.tv. I'm sure you will be absolutely inundated with requests, and I'm sure you're doing a wonderful, wonderful job of helping to make this world a better place for women everywhere.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you so much. Very kind.
Thank you. Bye, Zach.
Bye-bye.